exciting. Great crowd this morning. I want to start off by sharing a little about me. One of my passions is running, specifically on the cross-country team. And a few Fridays back, we had our first cross-country meet in Orlando. And so once we got there, we set up our tents, and our coach told us to go run the jog around the course. And so we go, and once we come back, it starts to rain. I mean, it's like downpouring. And there's like lightning like right over there. And so they delay the meet, and we all go towards the buses. And we sit in the buses where we're thinking, please let the meet be canceled. Please let it be canceled. Because I didn't want to run. But our coach comes up, and he says, suit up. Race starts in 30 minutes. So then we scramble all to the finish line, or to the starting line, where it's about we line up in about a two-person wide box. And so all our boys and all our girls are lined up, filed up behind us, and there are hundreds of runners in this squished starting line. And so the starter raises the gun, and he shoots it off, and hundreds of runners take off. We come to our first curve, and right off the bat, a runner runs in front of me. And as soon as his leg came up, I felt a sharp pain in my knee. And I thought to myself, yep, I've just been spiked. So I look down, and there's a little hole in my knee from the bottom of the guy's shoe from the spike. And I think to myself, well, I'm all right. I might bleed out during the race, but I'm okay. So I keep running, meeting obstacle after obstacle. And throughout the course, there are these big old mud puddles from the rain. And so keep in mind, it's a three-lap course. So you have to run over each mud puddle three times. And once you step into them, you got to really pull yourself out of it. You may lose a shoe or two. But I keep going. And by the second lap, I'm starting to feel fatigued, you know, a little tired, because I just ran 2 miles. And my inside head voice starts saying, okay, you're going too fast. You can slow down some. You're tired. But I say, no, shut up, run. And so after the third lap, I come to the finish line, and the voice kicks in again. And there's a guy in front of me, and my coach is yelling, go catch that guy! And I think to myself, well, maybe if I look like I'm putting forth effort to catch him, then coach would be satisfied. But then I slapped my face again, and I said, no, you run. So I kicked it into fifth gear and passed that guy and 2 other guys in front of him. Throughout the course, there were so many distractions that I faced throughout my race. And this can relate to the distractions that we face as Christians, the adversity that we face in our race. So we're going to be reading from 1 Kings 18 this morning. So open your Bibles. 1 Kings 18, about Elijah. But before we do that, let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this great turnout this morning, God. I pray that you'd set me aside, Lord, and that you'd speak through me so these people would hear you, God. That they wouldn't hear Stephen talking, but they would hear you. And God, I pray that you'd give me the peace to get through this message, Lord, and that ultimately these people would take something away from this message and be able to apply it to their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so 1 Kings 18. And to give you a little background on this story, I have a little visual demonstration. So I need 5 volunteers. Tyler Alonzo, get up here, boy. Louis Mariah, run down here. I need some adults. Give me some adults. Right there, you, sir. Give me 2 more. 2 more adults. Mr. Owen looks like he's eager to get up here. And David Carruthers, come on up. Okay, so to give you a little background on the story, there's been a famine for a long time in the land, and so God comes to Elijah. You're not Elijah. You'll be Elijah. So God comes to Elijah. Mr. Owen, come over here. Okay, this is Elijah. He comes to Elijah and tells him that if you present yourself to King Ahab, you'll be King Ahab, because you look like a wise guy. Okay. Let me sort you guys out for a second. Okay, so God tells Elijah that if he presents himself to King Ahab, then he will provide rain. But King Ahab is a cruel and ruthless leader, as you can tell. And he hates God. So of course, it's going to be a little scary for Elijah. And King Ahab sends out Jezebel to kill all of the Lord's prophets. So, and that guy's Obadiah, because he's a country boy. But Obadiah has been hiding the prophets in caves. So one day, King Ahab tells Obadiah to take all the cattle and his camels. You'll be a camel, so stick this in your shirt. To take all the cattle and his camel to go find fertile land. So, Obadiah, take your camel on over. Over this way. There's grass over here. So on his way, he meets Elijah. So then Elijah tells Obadiah to tell King Ahab that Elijah's here to see him. And so now we'll pick up in verse 16. You guys are done. I'll take my help back. That failed. Okay. So verse 16 of 1 Kings 18. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon all the people from all over Israel and meet the 400 prophets of Asherah and eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will we waver between two opinions? If Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. All right, let's break this down. So Elijah comes to Ahab and tells him that he and his father's family have abandoned the Lord and his commands. So he summons them all to Mount Carmel, where he tells them, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him." And just like these people, Ahab and his people, we get distracted, and we fall into the daily lives of life and all the distractions that come with life. And some of us get wrapped up in sports and what's going on with our favorite team. Some of us turn to drugs or alcohol. Some of us idolize money. You know, I'm not going to lie. I like to have a big, fast stack of cash in my wallet. But before long, when those items become our idols and we begin worshiping them instead of God, we begin worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. And those things become more valuable and they become our idols. Revelation 3:15 says, "I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." You know, God's tired of lukewarm Christians. He's tired of Christians, people who call themselves Christians, when it's convenient for them. In order to follow Christ, you're going to have to give up something, whether that be a girlfriend or boyfriend, money, or whether that be 10 or 20 friends, if they're causing you to sin. We're going to have to give up something. But it's those things, those distractions, that cause us to linger on that fence. Let's pick up back in verse 22. Then Elijah said to them, "I'm the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces, and put it on the wood, but don't set fire to it. I'll prepare the bowl, other bowl, and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of the Lord, or on the name of your God, and I will call the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God. Then all the people said, what you say is good. All right. So Elijah is one of the Lord's prophets left. But Baal has 450. So you know Elijah's got to be feeling pretty alone right now. Like the odds are stacked up against him. But he has something that they don't have, and that's God. He has God on his side. And so because he has God, he comes up with this plan. And he tells them to get two bowls, one for themselves, and to cut it up and put it on their altar. But don't set fire to it. And so they do so. And so they dance around the altar from morning till noon, calling on Baal or whoever. And by this time, afternoon, Elijah begins to taunt them, you know, because he knows nothing's going to happen to their sacrifice. So he says, oh, well, maybe Baal's deep in thought, or maybe he's sleeping. Well, so they shout louder and they start to cut themselves. And just like these people, we turn to our idols when hoping that they will come through for us. Yet they only provide empty promises. And when we put our trust in things other than God, we will fail. We think that turning to our idols can save us from a terrible situation or can take us out of that moment, but salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Church, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I'm perfect. I still struggle with a great deal of sin, and I will. People think because I'm a PK, a preacher's kid, that I'm a little angel. Well, I'm not. Not all the time. But we're all going to struggle with sin. We're all going to face temptation. We're all going to fall into temptation and these distractions. And that's why, because we're imperfect, we need a Savior. And that Savior was Jesus, someone to rely on. All right, let's keep reading in verse 30. Then Elijah said to the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes, descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill 4 large jugs with water, and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said. And they did it again. Do it a third time, he said. And they did it a third time. The water ran down the altar. It even filled up the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell down and burnt up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and licked up all the water in the trench. When the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. Then Elijah commanded them, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away. They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered there. So now it was Elijah's turn. And Elijah began to repair the altar of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it. They could hold about 15 liters of water. And so he cut up the bull and put it on the altar. And he had 4 large jugs filled with water and just drenched the sacrifice 3 times, enough to fill up the whole trench. And so then Elijah prayed. He prayed to God that God would show himself to be the true God and that these people would repent and turn away from their distractions. And then after he prayed, the fire of the Lord fell down and burnt up the offering, burnt up the wood, the fire, or it burnt up the fire. It burnt up the stones and the soil and licked up all the water in the trench. And so when the people saw this, they repented and fell down and worshiped God. And Elijah is a prime example of what God can accomplish through us. Because Elijah was obedient and faithful to God, God was able to use him in a big way. And God can use us in a big way too. And he wants to use us to outreach to the lost, to outreach to those outside these walls. And when we keep our eyes on the Lord, we're able to do great things for him. You know, but it's not us who save people. It's Jesus who saves. I think a lot of times we have a hard time grasping that because we think, oh, well, I brought this person to church, so I must be doing something right. You know, I must get a word or something. But that's our duty. Our duty. But we're only God's vehicle to bring people to him so that he can do the changing and the saving. Salvation is found in no one else. You may say, well, I'm too busy to talk to that person about Christ, or I don't know how to talk to this person about Jesus. Guys, we can show the love of Christ simply by loving others. Caring Hands does a great job at this, at showing love to people half the time they don't even know, providing services and needs that people need, and being able to witness while doing it. And I'm sure that one way that we can show the love of Christ, a simple way, would just be asking how someone's day is going. I'm sure that any of these little old ladies would love it if someone came up to them and asked how their day has been or what's been going on in their life. So don't lose sight of the end of the tunnel. Just like these people, we need to put aside our distractions so that we can focus on what God is calling us to do. We need to have a sense of urgency, guys. Church, because if we don't share the gospel with our friends, our coworkers, our family members, they will spend an eternity in hell. And I don't know about you, but an eternity sounds like a long time. And I know that I want to be spending it in the right place. When we put our trust in God, and he can use us in big ways, you know, to outreach. So get off the fence. Put aside the distractions that can cause you to not focus on God, that can bring us away from the Lord. Keep Christ your focus so that you can do what God is calling you to do. Let me read you one last verse. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that these people were challenged, God, this morning, that they would just find all the things that are causing them to not live for you, God, to list all the distractions that are causing them to stray away from your commands, God. And I pray that they would lay them at the cross, God, lay them at your feet, and that you would be able to change them, God, so that they can listen to what you need to say, God, so that they can do what you want them to do. God, I pray that anything that's hindering us from doing what you've called us to do, that we would set it aside, Lord. God, I pray that you would be with us as we leave. Amen. Pastor Craig.